have you join us again for the Conversations As You Go podcast. This week we have a special treat of listening to Mike Hay. We did a podcast with Mike Hay late last year, but we have the privilege of hearing from him again. A couple of weeks ago we were having our Launch 24 gathering, where workers from Australia and New Zealand, nearly 100 of us, gathered together, and we were really focusing on our nation and how to catalyse movement in the cities of our nation. It was a fabulous time. In fact, we'll be drawing from a lot of that rich input over these next few podcasts. One of the presenters was Mike, and Mike presented to us his story in Adelaide and what God was doing and some of the principles that he was using to catalyse DMM in the city of Adelaide. Mike has been a long-term missionary. He worked in India for 10 years and with the Doulas and the ships with OM. And it's just a real privilege to hear him as he brings the culmination of many, many years of ministry together to see DMM happen in the city of Adelaide. I trust that you enjoy this podcast with Mike Hay. Mike, introduce yourself to us.
Mike Hay, married to Anne, three daughters, two are married, six grandkids, living in a little suburb called Salisbury Heights, which is in the north of Adelaide, and passion in life to see people around us grow in all that God has for them, even if they don't yet know him.
Mike, I understand before moving to Adelaide, you've been in the swirl of following God's call and mission for many years. Give us a quick snapshot of that.
I think it probably started when I heard a message in Belgium, and the guy said Jesus didn't just say, go, baptize and teach. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. I'm with you. I had no reason not to go. So I went to India.
Wow.
Spent 10 years there.
What year was that?
1976. I didn't want to go. But I said, Jesus, I'd go anywhere except India. And then he kept on bringing me in contact with people who said, India is a wide open door for people like you, Mike. So I surrendered. I went.
And after that?
I probably had the first, most formative years of my life in following Jesus. Driving a truck with a team of young men, scattering the seed widely in a place called Uttar Pradesh, you know, to Bhojpuri and many other groups, and really our heart passion, crying out to God for movement to happen, crying out to God, church plant. We had language we didn't know what we were talking about. We wanted to just see people being discipled, making more disciples. And our way was to pray and get on the street and give out as many Bibles and Gospels as we could, preach our heart out, but I'm not sure anybody caught it. But that seemed to have been a season of sowing before, and then we left, and it all happened. My friend Victor John then had a story to tell that we weren't part of that, but I'm sure we helped lay some foundations.
Some of the biggest church planting movements in the world now happening in those places.
Yeah, well, we were in the church planting trickle, actually, in the beginning. And
I know the feeling. what was one of the highlight lessons that you learnt from that season that you will take away with till the day you die?
That Jesus is Lord, that he's with us right now, and I'm loved by the Father, and he wants me to grow in all that he has. And as I do that, those around me will also learn to grow and to go with all that he has for them. And he's designed us all to be a blessing. That's probably the heart of it.
Wonderful. After India, what happened?
Came back to Australia, wanted to go back to India. We came back here so my wife could get Australian citizenship. She's from Grenada, West Indies. And OM, our mission, asked us to be based in Adelaide. So we started to have a passion for Adelaide. And the Doulos just happened to be here when we turned up. We had nowhere to stay, so we stayed on the ship. And in every meeting on board, I got up at the end and said, the ship's leaving, we're here. We'll talk to you about the next steps. And then a week later, we stayed at a little manse of a church, local church. They put us up. Four guys turned up at our door at 10 o'clock at night. What's the next step, Mike? And then we started these little Bible studies, studying a book, In the Gap, by what's his name? Bryant, I forgot his name. Anyway, you know, it's a great book, once a month, one chapter a month. And then we started to do stuff just locally. And these university kids invited me onto campus. We preached the gospel. But then we started to do things like on the weekend, let's just go and knock on doors, go and live in ethnic communities. Let's go and see if we can point people to Jesus.
Tell us about Adelaide and your heart for Adelaide.
My heart for Adelaide is that I see the cities as something on God's heart because there's so many people who live in the cities. And the cities are connected, not just to regions in their countries, but to nations. So Adelaide is a city full of nations. And Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." So when I see Adelaide, the city, as a house of prayer. Mm. And where's that house of prayer? It's in every neighborhood, wherever a follower of Jesus lives. They simply need to be activated to be in aligned with what God wants them to be a part of through prayer and action.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some of the core basis of your philosophy of ministry as you approach this, what do you want to see happen?
In terms of the city, the core basis is Adelaide has been known as a city of churches. I want to see that narrative change. It's the city of the church. It belongs to Jesus. It expressed in so many various vibrant ways across the whole city. Secondly, that Jesus is building his church in that city. Relax and join him. Thirdly, we in the city have been given the gates between heaven and earth as we learn to engage with what God wants us to engage with in the city, primarily through prayer, learning to bless, speak words that bring transformation and hope, and then getting out there and point people to Jesus and his way of life. That's sort of a core kind of area. I guess another one is, at the heart of all that, we have to learn in the city to listen to what God is saying to the city at this time. One little picture I got of the city some years ago was God wants us to weave the nets of relationships, all different areas of life. And it starts with the twos and threes in a street, in a business, in a school, in a shopping center, and learning what is it that he's calling us to weave that rope that then ties with other nets, and then across the whole city, we see the presence of Jesus. I think for me, the gospel is simply, it's about Jesus is Lord and he's present, and he's inviting everyone to be a part of his love and to obey him by inviting others to be a part of his love.
What can we learn from third world movements that we need to apply here in cities like Adelaide?
Prayer is essential. It's not an optional extra. Speaking blessing, however you call it, you know, a word of healing, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, just a word of encouragement, bringing scripture out of your mouth into normal situations and trusting God to work through his word. I think that's a key. And just obedience. Just obey and keep obeying and invite others to obey and keep obeying. But remember that that obedience flows out of love, and that love flows out of grace because it's still all God. Mm. But we've still got to actively participate. Mm. And I learned that in India. Mm. On a team, we just trusted God. And sometimes we made mistakes. Sometimes we got upset with one another. We had to come back to the cross. We had to weep. We had to repent. Things like that. And just brutal honesty at times. And then discover the beauty of Jesus as we return to grace and his love for us.
Yeah. Wow. You've intentionally moved in, and your whole focus is as you step out the door to bless the city.
Yes, absolutely.
What does blessing mean?
Blessing means that we are loved by God. We're blessed. We are designed to bless others. So therefore, as we step outside the door, we've got to be orientated intentionally to who's in our neighborhood, who's in that shopping center, who's in that place of work, who's in that government office. What is God call upon our lives to bring the blessing of God? And blessing of God is simply to bring the goodness of God to them. And the good pushes back the bad. I was once invited into this center, and I said, "Oh, could I bless you?" They said, "Hey, what do you mean by blessing?" "Well, do you know what a curse is?" "Yeah, what is it?" "It's bad, yes." "So blessing is good?" "Yeah." "So I want to speak something that's good, but it comes from God through Jesus. Can I do that?" "Yes." So I spoke, I bless you with the favor of God. I bless you with abundance flourishing in all that you're doing. And I bless you with protection from all that bad that's all around you. I do that in Jesus' name." They said, "Wow, that's good. We should learn to do that."
What does it look like to plant communities of Jesus' followers who love their neighbors?
I don't think we can, but God does. And church planting is a work of God, Jesus building his church. But we've got to be there in that neighborhood. So I walk outside the door, get to know my Afghan friends on one side, my Hindu friend on the other side. And then I engage with some friends who are in the neighborhood. We start to pray. Then we work out ways, how do we bless this neighborhood? And so we knock on a few doors and say, "Hey, we'd like to invite you to a barbecue." They say, "Oh, what for?" "We just want to bless you." "Wow, that's a good idea. Want people to get to know one another." And then we have the barbecue. People enjoy it. You know, 60 people turn up. And then we start listening. "Well, why are you doing this?" "Because Jesus loves us and he loves you too." "Ah, would you like to learn about his love?" Very intentional. And then somebody says, "Oh, yes, I would. Can you come to my home?" "Oh, yeah, we'll come to your home." "And where do we start?" "Well, let's look at the life of Jesus." "Oh, how do we do that?" "We just read it and retell it and ask a few basic questions and then go and do what it says. As simple as that."
Wonderful. What is a person of peace, Mike?
A person of peace is someone who's receptive to the word of God, to you as a person, receptive to the message you have, which is Jesus himself. Maybe curious, but more than that, that is a person who in his whole or her network of family, relationships, social network, whatever, that they want to go and share what they're learning, even if it's just a small bit. Like I have a friend who's come, he said, "I don't want to take a leap of faith, but I'm curious about Jesus." So we do a discovery Bible study. I said, "What are you going to do with this?" He said, "I'm going to share with my friends." "Who are your friends?" "Well, we're gamers. We're doing gaming. I'm just going to tell him the story. Then the story we learned." I said, "That's great. Come and tell me what happens next week." Simple as that. Yeah.
Wonderful. Tell us about what it looks like now in Adelaide. What are the things to celebrate and what are some of the challenges that you face?
I think it's still a trickle, but I think there's things happening at multiple levels. And we've got to see that. This is the weaving of the net. And this is why we have to learn to see what God is doing. I've had this sort of heart since Pentecost last year to encourage the body of Christ to just get out and bless at least 10 homes a week, 30 homes a month. Now that's over 300 homes a year. And if every one of us did that, we'd be turning the city upside down with God's love. Mm. But people are not quite sure how to do that. So what I see is I see couples here and there getting out and doing it. And I see it happening. And then I got a phone call last week from the Bible Society. And they're sort of aware that I'm encouraging everyone to bless every home. And they said, "Mike, we've got this thing at Easter called Jesus All About Life." I said, "Yes, what do you think about us coming to a park in the northern suburbs where you are and inviting the whole church from the whole of South Australia to come and celebrate Jesus All About Life?" I said, "That's wonderful." And then I looked at their material and it says, "And Easter's all about Jesus." So I then said to my friend, "Hey, then between the 23rd, when you want to do that, March the 23rd, and Easter Sunday, which is also Neighbor Day, just happens to be the same day, the 31st, why don't we make Holy Week as our holy ambition to tell everyone that life is all about Jesus? Come and learn about him this coming weekend or have a barbecue with us." So they said, "That's a good idea, Mike." So we're going to do it. And we booked the park and the mayor's probably going to turn up and got all these people coming. But my concern is most of us think the event is the destination. It's not. It's just a catalyst for life. And that life has got to be Jesus. And our work has got to be walking with people beyond that. Look, you now step out and knock on those doors, invite your friends, just say hi. Neighbor Day is coming up and Easter. You can come to a service or would you like a barbecue at my home in the evening? As simple as that.
Wonderful. As we pray for 8, as we focus on the cities of Australia, What would you like to say to teams and people who are starting to gather and pray for their city and have a vision for their city in Australia?
Recognize that a lot of prayer has gone into these cities over the years by many different groups, many different levels, and God has heard that. The bowls are being filled. But a call to intentional prayer for that season is so important, because you're calling people out to be focused on the city so that the wells are dug and the rivers of living water can flow. But beyond that, what we're doing in Adelaide, I'm encouraging people, just gather in small groups and every week gather together. Overlook your part of the city and begin just to bless, to pray, get down there and get your feet dirty and start walking and being involved with whatever is needed to bring the love of God to the city. So prayer plus action must go together. Yeah.
What would your prayer for Australia be as we face the difficulty and the challenge of mission in Australia? What's your prayer?
For who? For the whole of Australia?
Yeah.
Turn to Jesus. Mm. Great land of the Holy Spirit, South land of the Holy Spirit. The church is in every neighborhood. It's a time to focus on Jesus, to hear his word and believe with confidence this nation is designed to bless all nations in Jesus' name. And the nations are here, and the nations are next door, the least reached are next door. And trust God that he can use you to step outside your door. Lord, be gracious to us, everyone on the street, and bless us, everybody on this street, and cause your face to shine on my Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, agnostic, atheistic, and even Christian who's sort of lost his way, that we together would turn back to Jesus and follow him and be obedient to make disciples of all nations.